This is the Children's Home Hour, originating in Bristol, Tennessee. This is Brother Mike Nixon, and I'd like to welcome you to the broadcast today. Thank you for joining us and count it a privilege of ours to come into your place of listening. We trust the broadcast will be a blessing to you. Now, I'd like to begin it with a word of prayer, so if you could, pray with us. Fathers, we bow, we come to you in the name of Jesus, Lord. We thank you for your blessings. Thank you for the opportunity to be here on the radio. I ask you, Lord, to have your will and your way during this time. Bless the listeners. Lord, I do pray for our missionaries, the children's homes, all the work you've got us engaged in, Lord. I pray that you'd lead us and guide us, Lord, that we'd know what to do. Lord, we won't know unless you tell us, Lord, and we ask you, Lord God, just to speak to us. Let us know, Father, Lord. And we pray today once again, bless these listeners. Thank you for this time. We give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brethren, let me make just a few quick announcements concerning the work that we're engaged in. I'd like to ask you to continue to pray for our children's homes, the one here in Bristol, Tennessee, one in North India, one in South India, one in Romania, as well as the mission work in Romania, Bulgaria, the Ukraine. And if you would, continue to please pray for all of these children. I got a message the other day from one of our missionaries in Romania about some of the work that's going on. And they've had some mafia folks come up against them and different things. And we just got to praying, and it wasn't long that the SWAT team come in and arrested them. And I'm glad the Lord's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And it seems like that whatever the Lord is in, the devil's always fighting it. But I'm glad the Lord's able to take care of whatever it is that we may face, and I greatly appreciate it. And you know, sometimes I wonder what are we going to do this situation, different things, but I'm glad God, he's not wringing his hands like I do sometimes. He's able to take care of it. So I appreciate that. Appreciate you praying for our missionaries. Like I said, I didn't say too much about that, but they just face things, and I want you to pray for them. They're on the battlefield, and we're on one here. But anyway, we're just on the firing line. Want to be there. Want to stay there for Christ's sake. And anyway, so if you would please continue to pray for these, and we'd greatly appreciate it. Once again, I want to ask you to write us. If you would, write us at Tri-State Baptist Children's Home, Post Office Box 888, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621, or at Charity Baptist Mission, Post Office Box 692, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621. And at this time, we're going to go to the auditorium of the Brookside Baptist Church. We trust you enjoy the message.
When the world has turned you down, and a true friend can't be found, and old Satan tries to say your prayers are vain. When your load is hard to bear, and it seems there's none to care, you'll find relief when you kneel and call his name.
It's all right,
it's all right,
it's all right,
it's all right. Through the storm he'll give me life. He will answer when upon his name I call.
It's all right,
it's all right,
it's all right,
it's all right. I will never fear the night.
It's all right,
it's all right,
when I talk
with the Lord, with the Lord. When my steps are getting slow, and it's time for me to go, and my body bends beneath the toiling pain, when I cross O Jordan's tide, and I reach the other side, it'll be all right, for the Lord will call my name.
It's all right,
it's all right,
it's all right.
Through the storm he'll give me life. He will answer when upon his name I call.
It's all right,
it's all right.
It's all right.
It's all right.
When I talk
with the Lord.
Talk with the Lord.
When my steps are getting slow, and it's time for me to go, and my body bends beneath the tolling pain. When I cross old Jordan's tide, and I reach the other side, it'll be all right, for the Lord will call my name.
It's all right,
it's all right,
it's all right,
it's all right. Through the storm he'll give me light. He will answer when upon his name I call.
It's all right,
it's all right,
it's all right.
It's all right. I will never fear the night.
It's all right.
It's all right.
When I talk
with the Lord.
Talk with the Lord.
Amen. 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 It's all right. No matter what happens, it's still all right. Well, I appreciate what the Lord's done this morning. I appreciate the Sunday school. I appreciate Brit's message, and then I appreciate what the girls and boys done, the singing, and I appreciate all of that. Amen. Thank God for what he's done. Amen. I'm glad it's all because of him. Amen. Listen, I got a roof over my head, that's because of him. I got food on my table, shoes on my feet. He done it all. Great God, he done it all. I want to preach, and I preached the other night that we're not supposed to observe days, months, and holidays, and holy days, and all them other days. But they know you're trying to get you to quit them, and it's too late. You done it. So, so everybody get your mind on Father's Day. I'm going to preach on God's three great Father's Days. He had three, I don't know, God's all days. God's great. I mean, I don't know if he can do anything, make anything any greater or not. I mean, God's good. He's as good as he can get. You can't make him no better than that. I mean, God is love, and he got so much, he can't give it all away. I mean, ain't no use of saying nothing about that. I mean, he just got everything, and he's bigger than anybody can believe, and yet he's great. And I don't know if one day is ever greater than another than God's sight or not, but I think he had three experiences that he took over and said something, and I want to talk to you about it. In Matthew chapter 3, all this pertains to Israel. Matthew chapter 3. Now, I mean, John the Baptist is coming and he's a baptizing. And I want to read verse 11. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now, I want to say one thing right here. I mean, he promised that to Israel. They got the tongues, the clothing, fire, but nobody else has had that since. That's who it is for. Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner. Isn't that good? I mean, the wheat's Israel, and he will burn the chaff with unquenchable fire. I mean, there's two kinds right here. There's a fire that God is going to baptize them Israelites with in that day, on the day of Pentecost. And there's another fire that he's going to put you in if you don't get saved. That's what he's saying. Now, then cometh Jesus to Galilee, into Jordan, unto John to be baptized of him. And John forbid him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee. Why comest thou unto me? Now, I'm going to stop right here. Now, I guess about 4,000 years, they hadn't baptized nobody. I mean, nobody got in. I mean, you know, this was an exciting time. Here comes John the Baptist. Nobody'd been preaching repentance. He come told that crowd to repent, not of their sins, but of their religion. That's what they need to do today. He come preaching repent, ye, for the kingdom of heaven's at hand. Lord God, that shook the whole crowd up. And everybody around about Jordan got baptized except them Pharisees, and they come last. And they didn't confess their sins because they didn't think they had any. And they come and said, we want to get baptized. He said, you're a bunch of snakes. You ain't going to get it. Now Jesus come and wanted to get baptized, and he didn't have to get baptized because he's a sinner. He didn't have to get baptized for any other reason. But Jesus said in verse 15, Jesus answered and said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. I mean, he said, now me and you're going to fulfill all righteousness. Isn't that good? That's God. If Jesus done it all, and he did, him and John have fulfilled all righteousness, and he took care of the whole thing. Now, I don't care. I mean, what you think about it, that's what he said. I preached the other night about the kingdom of God, and it's going to be taken from us, and I preached about it, and the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, and that's all. Ain't nothing else, nothing else. That's what it is, that's what it says. And it's in you, or it was in you, because somebody messed with you. I got me another sermon going up the road. I ain't going to preach this, but I got another going up the road. Who messed up your kingdom? Every one of you is full of the Holy Ghost, joy and peace and happiness and God, until some joker come by and told you, well, you got to live right. And then it just blowed you plumb out of the water. Ain't you glad that God is not looking at what somebody said, but he gave you the kingdom on the inside of you. He gave you the righteousness of God. He made you righteous, and he gave you peace through Jesus Christ, and he gave you joy through the Holy Ghost. And the devil with the rest of that crowd don't believe it. Now listen, this, I'm trying to preach a Father's Day message, and the Bible said Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens opened and unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and it lighted on him. The Holy Ghost ever comes on you, it'll be because Jesus is in you. He'll never come on a Jew or Gentile, either one, till Jesus gets in him. He don't ascend on your flesh. He ascends on the Son of God. I'm glad he don't come down here on a bunch of peck of woods that we've got today, running around here claiming they got the gift of tongues. They got the gift of everything else. They ain't got the gift of nothing. Till God gets on you, you ain't got nothing. And it's all Jesus, regardless of what. But this is what the Father said. And I mean, low a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. I want you to, you say, well, that don't sound about the Father there. Well, how in the world could he be a son unless God was his Father? He said, this is my beloved Son. Now, you know who's a-talking, don't you? That's the Father. Because his mother was here on the earth, and his Father's God. So you just have to sit there and take this. It's the Father doing the talking. And I believe he had a pretty good day that day. I believe that God had a pretty good day when he seen his Son fulfill all righteousness, got baptized, the Holy Ghost said, boy, I'm pleased with the Father. I'm going to head that down there. And he got on Jesus that day. John never knew who Jesus was till after he seen the Holy Ghost descend on him. Then he said, I know who he is. I know who he is. Well, I got to run over to my next point. I got 3 points. I ain't got no poem. I got 3 points anyhow. And verse chapter 17 of Matthew, here Jesus is, got Peter, James, and John. Now, I wonder why he took Peter, James, and John. Well, that's the one that wrote to the Israelites. Peter, James, and John, Ephesians said, Paul said, I mean, that was they had the gospel to the circumcision. And we had Paul and Barnabas had it to the uncircumcision. So Peter and James and John saw that the grace of God was given to them. So he laid hands on them and sent them out, 3 fellows. Now, God liked these fellas for some reason. I mean, old Peter's a cussing preacher. I know that. But God still liked him. Ain't you glad? Take him up on the mountain with him, and they talked to him, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as light. Now, boy, I want to tell you right now, that was some sight to see. And behold, I appeared unto him, Moses and Elias, talking with him. Now, Peter, he didn't have to introduce these fellas. He didn't introduce them and say, this is Brother Moses, this is Brother Elijah. He didn't have to introduce them. Bless God, them fellas seen him in the glory, and they knew who they was. They had never seen Moses, they had never seen Elijah, but bless God, they saw him that day, and they knew who was who. And they said, oh, it's good to be here. Lord God, it is good to be here. You know, when God gets around, it's good to be here. But boy, when God gets around and brings some of his old prophets around and he gets glorified in front of you, wouldn't that be good? Lord, have mercy. Can you imagine what kind of meeting they must have had? Lord, I don't blame them fellas for wanting to do something. My God, if you ever see Jesus, you want to do something. And if you ever see Moses and Elijah and Jesus all together talking about his death, that'll shake you up. I've condemned these fellows a little bit, but I ain't doing it now. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. I wonder how many churches today in America have said, boy, it's good to be here. The preacher gets up and says, it's good to have you. But I don't hardly ever hear anybody holler back and say, it's good to be here. But listen, it's good to be here. When God gets around, son, it's good to be here. When God comes by, it's good to be here. When God moves in, it's good to be here. When you read what Moses wrote, it's good to be here. When you read what Elijah done. And I like both them fellas, because you know what? I got to thinking about this. When they got old, both of them got thrown out. Nobody wouldn't believe neither one of them. Old Elijah lived in a cave. He wound up in a cave just because he's God's man. Boy, if you young preachers think, and I know time to run on, I got a whole bunch more preaching to do. But if you just think that, boy, when I get old, they'll like me. Honey, they ain't going to like you a bit. In fact, every old preacher that I've ever seen that was any good at all, that didn't compromise and just preached what God showed him, he said, I wouldn't have him in my church. He don't believe what I believe. Well, forget it. I don't want to come anyway. And they said, let us build three tabernacles, one for Moses, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Shut up and listen to Jesus. That's what God said. I believe that was a big day. Don't you think it was a good day when God had Moses and Elijah to come down there and talk to his son about the crucifixion? Bless God, I'm glad that God let somebody come to talk to his son. Had three little jackrabbits up there listening and wanting to do something. How would the God that we Baptists can find out? We don't have to do nothing. God's doing what he wants to do. God had to close down the meeting, overshadowed them with a glory, and said, boys, shut up. This is my beloved son, whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. Okay, I'm going to Luke 15. Boy, this is a Father's Day. This is a Father's Day. Bible said, certain man had two sons, Luke 15, verse 11. And the younger of them said unto him, Father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, and is divided unto them his living. Now down here in verse 17, prodigal recognized he had a father. That's good. Now all of this I done told you, all this pertains to Israel. All of this is about to Israel, and don't get excited. You say, well, ain't there nothing in there for us? My God, it's all in there for you. You don't want it. Preacher stood up here this morning and said, come on, get it. You sat there and looked like a cave looking at a new gate, newborn cave looking at the gate or whatever the case is. And then he said, I'll arrive and go to who? My father. There's one thing about this boy, he never did change fathers. I mean, he's a father when he left. He's his father in the hog pen and his father when he got back home. And when he got back home, he said, I'll say to my father, I've sinned against heaven in thy sight. That father didn't pay any attention to his confessing his sins and telling how bad he was. He just said to that boy, he said to that servant, he didn't say a thing to the son. He said to the servant, go get the best robe. We're going to put the robe of righteousness back on him. Oh, you're listening to me. Oh, Lord, one of these days Israel's going to come home after they've been in the hog pen, been down there with us Gentiles and been eating the slop. Boy, they're going to come home one of these days, and they're most of them home. A lot of them are home, not all of them, but they're going to return one of these days, and the Father's going to have a big day. When all of his children gets back to their home, you say, I don't believe all that. I ain't worrying about what you believe right now. But I want to tell you right now, he did get dressed in the right robe. You know how come the father to do that? He didn't say, where you been? What'd you do with that money? Why did you do that? If you'd have stayed at home, he didn't say a word about that. Ain't you glad he don't? My God, he loves you in the hog pen as good as he does anywhere else. If you're his, I'm talking about. Now you say, well, where are we going to be at? Don't worry, I'll tell you in a minute if we get to it. The Bible said, and arrows, and he said, I'm no more worthy. Well, God never paid no attention. The Father never paid, and that's the type of God. And he arose and came to his father. And when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. Hey, God's a-looking for somebody. He's a-looking for his own. And he's a-looking for the children of Israel to come back home. He's a-watching. Honey, he's a-watching the gate. He's a-watching the gate. And he seen him away off down yonder. You know why he done? You know what the father done? He ran. It don't say nothing about the boy running. The father ran. And they tell me that when the father, when somebody done what he done, they'd have to come and lay down and they'd bore their heel in their neck. But instead of that, he fell on that son and kissed him. That's grace. That's God. That's good. What a day. And then that father said, when he saw him yet way off, he had what compassion. Amen. My God, he didn't say, how come you do that? He had compassion on him. Amen. And ran, fell on his neck, kissed him. Amen. Now he said to another servant, he said to that one servant, first thing we do, we robe him. Put that robe of righteousness back on him. Amen. You know, over in the book of Revelation, said the bride had made herself ready. She's been arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. We're going to get Israel's righteousness. God, you say, well, I don't believe that. Well, God gave us, he made us righteous. He made us righteous. And he's going to clothe us with righteousness. He that knew no sin has made sin for us. Are you listening? That we might be made the righteousness of God. Ain't a thing wrong with me this morning. You can say all you want to about me, cuss me all you want to, but God thinks I'm all right. And he thinks I'm okay. He thinks them Israelites are okay too. He thinks them boys, you say, why can't we come back like they did? We can't get home. We can't leave home. Reason you can't go nowhere like the prodigal. You've been seated in heaven, and bless God, you can't get out, and you're there for good, and you're made righteous, and you're holy, and you've got everything you need, and you can't go if you wanted to. That's the reason the prodigal son has to apply to Israel, because bless God, I can't get out. I'm better than they are. I'm home already seated. I've been baptized into a glorified body by the Holy Ghost. I've put in a body. I've got in a body. I'm seated with him. I rose with him. I'm justified. I'm a set with him. And forget about where I'm going. You say, can't you backslide? No. I'm backed as far as I can get it against the side. I'm already on the backside. You say, well, don't you have to repent? Not that I know of. You say, don't you have to confess your sins? Can't remember them. Hey, I know it's Father's Day and you want to get home and eat with your father. But bless God, this is the best father you'll ever eat with. Somebody got tore up the other day and said he thought, I didn't say God is our father. He's more than a father. Well, I mean, we're in Christ. I'm already in him. I ain't going to get in him. I told this boy the other day, I said, I was sitting at the church one day right over there in the corner, and God showed me. That side was open one day to take that bride out to give to Adam. But that side got opened again so that bride could get back in. God, I tell you what, listen. I mean, how in the world can you backslide when you're in him? When you're in Jesus? How can you get out? How can you go to a fire country when you've been tucked in the door and you can't get out? You said, you mean that door is still open? It sure is. When he came out of the grave and got his glorified body, he said, Thomas, put your hand in my side. He didn't say, put your hand on my side. He said, put your hand in my side. Boy, this is a Father's Day, wasn't it? When that old son come home, started all that rigmarole stuff, Father didn't pay attention to him, but he said, I tell you what, you put on the best robe. Now we're going to kill the fatted calf. Are you listening?
Amen.
Now, this is not the red heifer. This is the fatted calf.
Amen.
Now, like what Ricky said the other day, bless God, he didn't kill the son. Ain't you glad? He killed the calf.
Amen.
I mean, he did.
I
mean, somebody has to pay the penalty for sin. The wages of sin's death. So God said, the Father said, we'll just kill the calf and let the son go free.
Amen.
And they didn't kill the calf for a sacrifice to offer it. They killed it to eat it.
Amen.
You don't eat the red heifer. You don't eat her ashes. But you can't eat the calf. Hallelujah to Jesus. Whew. I'm glad. I've been up about all night and I ain't got much sleep, but I sure have got a blessing. He said, you go get the calf. He said, there's nothing, you go get a ring put on him. This means he ain't going nowhere else. I've got him for good. Hey, you know what I mean? Now, I don't wear a ring. A lot of folks look at me and say, why don't you wear your wedding band? Well, my fingers are so crooked like old Sanford, I can't wear it.
Well, I trust you've enjoyed the message. Once again, write us at Tri-State Baptist Children's Home, Post Office Box 888, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621, or at Charity Baptist Mission, Post Office Box 692, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621. And until next week, God bless you.